Okay, so Astronaut, last week or a couple of weeks ago, we had Richard Dreyfuss came on the show. And it was last week because Richard Dreyfuss was incredibly forthcoming on the subject of Michael Cimino and the Deer Hunter. My word.
Yes. And when we steered the conversation back to the Astronaut, he wanted to keep going on Michael Cimino.
I know, he went back off again. He was great. So, I mean, personally, I think that in the current situation, we could all do with a little bit of kind of bittersweet sentimentality in our lives, which is what Astronaut gives us. It's worth saying that when I first saw Astronaut, it was due for opening in cinemas. Now it's opening, obviously, straight to home viewing services. And funnily enough, I think it is a film which works better in the home. I've seen it in home and I've seen it in a preview cinema. So Richard Dreyfuss is Angus Stewart, who is retired and recently widowed. He used to be a civil engineer and he's a keen astronomer. He's always had these dreams of going into space, but he is ailing with age and he moves in with his daughter and her husband. The husband is not delighted about this because he has some down-to-earth problems of his own. And we hear very specifically that he doesn't believe in wishes. He certainly doesn't believe in wishing on stars. And incidentally, there's a comet passing overhead that Richard Dreyfuss's character, Angus, keeps looking up to and saying, you know, this is something really special. However, Barney, who is the young grandson, is delighted to have his grandpa in the house so they can look at the stars together. And then this thing happens, which is that there is a competition on television, a lottery, to win a place on a commercial space flight. You have to be of a certain age, you have to be in a certain kind of health, and Angus isn't any of those things. But when he gets moved into a retirement home, the need to somehow break away means that he makes the application anyway. Here's a clip.
Angus!
Sorry we're late, Dad. I tried calling you.
Maybe stay back for more stupid math.
Yeah, well, you'll thank me when you're older.
Yeah, like when I'm dead older.
Pardon me. Liz would like a word.
Okay.
Angus, are you settling in nicely?
Oh, I really don't think I'm going to be here for very long.
No, nonsense. You are very robust.
Dad, I'll be right back. Barney.
What?
What, you're not even going to guess?
Guess what?
Well, you said I could look 65.
No. You entered the competition!
Yep.
Oh my gosh, yes!
So he's entered the competition, the lottery, to go on this commercial space flight. Clearly, there's no possible way that this can happen. But in the kind of wish fulfillment world of the film, he does at least get shortlisted. Now, it's very clear from the outset, and Richard Dreyfuss said this last week, that the film doesn't have the budget to allow it to, you know, to do kind of great big grand space set pieces. But it never, as far as I was concerned, it never wanted to do that. This is a down-to-earth story about somebody kind of coming to terms with aging and loneliness and life in a retirement home. And Richard Dreyfuss said that he thought that there was an echo here of the character Roy Neary that he played in Close Encounters. This is kind of what would have happened to Roy Neary if he hadn't got into the alien spaceship all those years ago in Close Encounters. I actually think this film is pretty decent. And the reason I think so is because I think Richard Dreyfuss's performance is great. There are holes in the plot of the film that you could drive a bus through. And there are logical problems. You know, is it really likely that he could manage to get onto the shortlist just with a fake ID? It's very convenient that his particular area of expertise ties up so closely with something which may jeopardize the mission. It, you know, are any of these things credible? Well, no. But what I did believe in was Richard Dreyfuss's character, because I think that his performance, and I've now seen the film a couple of times, is really, actually I've seen it three times. I think his performance is really good. I think that what he manages to do is to cover over the gaps in the story, not least because there's a lot of what he does that isn't to do with speaking. There is a scene in the retirement home when everyone's buzzing around him and everyone's talking and he doesn't say anything at all. And he completely steals the scene because his silence speaks volumes. The film is, you know, it's kind of saccharine, but it also has, you know, this underlying current of melancholia, which I was really kind of won over by. And I did believe in his character. And because I believed in his character, because I believed in this idea of somebody who feels that maybe they never fulfilled their ambition and somebody whose dreams are so obviously unfulfillable, suddenly finding themselves in this position when there is an outside ridiculous possibility that they might be fulfilled, I actually thought that worked rather well. And as I said, I've seen the film a few times now, and I have been charmed by it each time. I know that you feel differently about it, Simon, but it's available from streaming from Monday. And I thought, actually, weirdly enough, particularly the time that we're in, everyone could do with a little bit of saccharine sweetness in their life. And this is what you get from that movie.